Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 85 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Three different contractors and four different crews, so a lot of that being quarantined and isolation.
COVID is once again impacting a building project in Moorhead.
The Red Cross is looking for disaster volunteers.
Kentucky hospitals are running out of beds.
In spite of alarming case numbers, many unvaccinated Kentuckians don't plan on getting the COVID shot.
In sports, Round Volleyball returns to their home court this evening.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a 10% chance of showers in the early morning hours and a low around 66. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Moorhead police officer is alive after being exposed to an unknown substance, which caused him to overdose this afternoon. The officer responded to an injury accident and was leaving when he realized what was happening and was able to alert another officer on the scene. Moorhead Police Department Captain Erskine Davis says luckily the officer was trained to know the signs of an overdose.
He said he got a really tight chest where he was struggling to draw in breath. And he was nauseous and dizzy all at the same time. He said, I knew it had to be that. He actually had his Narcan in his hand and was going to administer to himself, but he had already reached the point where he couldn't do that. So the other officer stepped in and gave him the Narcan.
The officer was taken to St. Clair Healthcare for decontamination and released. Davis says the incident shows how important it is for everyone to have access to Narcan. He says even trained officers can be exposed unknowingly. COVID-19 has put a snag in the construction of Moorhead's new police and 911 center. Bill Barker with company Pax & Walker gave an update on the project during the regular September meeting of the Moorhead City Council. He says the month was disastrous, with a COVID outbreak among job site employees affecting three contractors and four crews. There was also an issue with an incorrect bond beam installation that had to be fixed. But even with the delays and corrections, city planner Rodney Fouch says the city will not be incurring any additional cost. Here he is discussing the matter with council member Glenn Teager.
I just want to cut to the chase. If there were changes made just because of mishaps either by the architect engineer or construction manager, are we going to see any change orders that are going to affect our cost from those mistakes?
There were no changes made except for replacing that bond beam, and none of us are going to be charged for that.
Council voted unanimously to approve the next monthly payment for that project.
With COVID-19 and natural disasters hitting the United States, the American Red Cross in Kentucky is in need of more volunteers. Volunteers will receive basic skills to become a disaster responder in sheltering or health services to learn more about the Red Cross. Sheltering requires a 14-day development. Health services require a 10-day development minimum. Volunteer recruitment specialist at American Red Cross, Kayla Berger, encourages more local volunteers to allow local disaster victims to have more comfort knowing who is helping them.
There are some home fires that people are responding to from 2, 3, 4 counties away. So it's important to us that we build up that base of local volunteers, because if your house burns down, you know, it's already hard enough to be thinking logically and having someone come in and give you advice on your next steps immediately. It's even harder when it's someone that can't say, yeah, the best place is right down the road or here. They don't know your local area.
For more information, visit redcross.org/volunteer.
Some Kentucky hospitals are running out of beds as COVID-19 cases continue to soar. Baptist Health Richmond extended its suspension on elective procedures because of an increase in hospitalized COVID patients. Other rural hospitals like St. Clair are also struggling as they are running out of room, supplies, and medications. BHR Chief Medical Officer Dr. Erica Gruganis tells WKYT it's very challenging for ICU nurses, especially in the recent waves of COVID-19.
You know, sometimes we're working longer hours taking care of more patients. It's hard. I think it's even harder in this wave because those patients, for me, are much closer to my age. You know, they're not at my parents' age anymore. They're people that are younger.
50 to 60% of patients in the ICU have COVID, and doctors from St. Joseph and Baptist Health say the majority of them are unvaccinated.
Vaccinations are some of the most valuable contributions to modern medicine. Unfortunately, there are still a lot of people hesitant to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and recent polls have found that more adults who are still unvaccinated don't plan to ever get the shot. According to Wallet Hub's most recent poll, 54.4% of Kentuckians ages 12 and older are fully vaccinated, ranking the Commonwealth 32nd in the United States. Wallet Hub analyst Jill Gonzalez says experts studied three dimensions using 17 relevant metrics graded on a 100-point scale to determine the final rankings.
The personal finance website Wallet Hub just released its report on 2021's states that vaccinate the most. Massachusetts ranked number one, followed by Vermont, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and North Dakota.
World Health Organization estimates that vaccines prevent at least 100 million deaths worldwide just between the years of 2010 and 2015. A similar study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found vaccines prevented 732,000 deaths in the U.S. between 1994 and 2013, as well as estimated $1.38 trillion in total societal costs that those diseases would have caused.
COVID-positive patients are speaking out about the seriousness of the virus and how important it is to get vaccinated. The Appalachian Regional Healthcare Facility currently has no ICU beds available after the most recent surge in cases. Hazard, Kentucky resident Billy Couch has been in the hospital for 19 days and is still struggling to breathe. He tells CNN he paid no attention to the virus until he tested positive.
Don't mess around, because this ain't a joke. This is not fun and games. I've been here so long, I want to go home. But I can't go home because I can't breathe still yet. This is not a game at all. When you're sitting there and you can't breathe and you feel like you're going to die.
Healthcare workers are struggling to meet the needs of patients, many who delayed going to the hospital. Medical facilities are also facing shortages of ventilators and workers.
Fayette County Public School students, teachers, and staff will stay under a universal masking mandate for the time being. The school board voted unanimously Monday night to continue the pandemic precaution. The decision to keep the facial coverings mandatory came swiftly, with no opposition from the board. Chair Tyler Murphy expressed gratitude to FCPS employees for their efforts to limit the spread of COVID-19.
Thank you for prioritizing the health and safety and well-being of our student staff and families.
The mask requirement applies to all K through 12 students, teachers, staff, visitors, and contractors, regardless of vaccination status in all district facilities, as well as school buses. Masks are recommended for preschool children who can remove the coverings on their own. Students can lower their mask outdoors or while eating or drinking. Exemptions must be for medical reasons or otherwise approved by an admission and release committee.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recently issued a final ruling banning all food uses of a popular pesticide. Chlorpyrifos is commonly applied to corn, soybeans, apples, broccoli, and asparagus. University of Kentucky Extension entomologist Rick Besson says new pesticide products are increasingly selective, meaning they target one particular pest without affecting honeybees and other ecologically important wildlife.
They may not kill all insects out in the field. They may just target a few. You know, they may get aphids and whiteflies, and they won't touch the caterpillars or beetles.
The Division of Environmental Services in the Kentucky Department of Agriculture regulates federal and state pesticide laws and requires applicators to keep detailed records of pesticide use.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy with a high near 80. Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 64. Thursday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after noon, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 80. Thursday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., partly cloudy overnight with a low around 64. And for your Friday, a 20% chance of showers, otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 81.
On our feature segment today, a podcast produced by students and faculty at Morehead State's Kentucky Center for Traditional Music can now be heard here on Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
Sounds of Our Heritage is a weekly 15-minute profile of traditional Appalachian music, songs, songwriters, musicians, and performers containing original recordings, interviews, and stories. It's also a project born out of the pandemic. KCTM students are typically graded on the live performances they give each semester. But when the effects of COVID-19 started being felt in the area, that was no longer an option. Raymond McClain is the director at the center. He says at that point, he started having the band classes record each instrument separately to be mixed together later.
We had recordings from the students that I felt were really pretty good quality. And even though we'd recorded them remotely, then when Haley and I mixed and edited and Jesse Wells edited and mastered the programs and put them together, I think they're very interesting, and I think it's a good picture of what some of our students are accomplishing.
Haley King is a junior at Morehead State, double majoring in traditional music and Spanish. She's also a producer for the podcast.
I wasn't introduced to bluegrass music or old-time music really until I was about 10 years old. I went to a farmer's market and I saw a fiddler playing, and I heard it, and it was the most wonderful sound. And at the time, I had been playing classical violin for about 3 years.
King says her time at the center has been a major learning experience overall, but this project in particular really opened her eyes to the production side of the industry.
But once we got it set up, it was actually really cool because even though we were still recording from home and there was background noise, we were able to adjust it a little bit to where the background noise was not so pronounced in the recordings. And I feel like it also helped us to understand what we sounded like.
Eventually, students and faculty were able to begin recording in person again, but that came with some other unforeseen challenges.
However, we were not allowed to sing in the building because of air ventilation and a bunch of stuff, regulations. And so I had to record my vocal parts in my car. And so I would drive up to the parking lot back behind Camden Carroll Library because there was too many road noises everywhere else. And so I'd drive up there and then set up my recording equipment in the back of my car.
Along with featuring current students at the KCTM, graduates can also be heard. Andrew Preston attended the center, and McClain cites his career as well as the creation of the Sounds of Our Heritage podcast as examples of how entertainers are having to succeed amid the new normal.
No matter how successful it is, you want to have a diversity of things that you do. And of course, Andrew, he's a songwriter and a singer and an entertainer and a band leader and a record producer, and he's got a record company and he's got a publishing company. And he, you know, all the things that he does are things that contribute toward having a good career and a solid career that can survive a pandemic.
But above it all, McClain says Sounds of Our Heritage is a testament to a continuously growing pride seen surrounding Appalachian culture.
And who we are is powerful. We're part of something that way. The more we remember that we are part of something, part of a community, part of a family of people, part of somebody that this music draws us together. These things, these cultural things, draw us together. And don't we all need that these days?
MSPR broadcasts the feature at 11:30 a.m. Saturdays during Bluegrass Railroad and during Bluegrass Sunday at the same time. They are later archived online at wmky.org. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band in concert with guests Nick Detmeyer and the Sawdusters, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 16th. A two-time Blues Music Award nominee, Reverend Peyton performs rootsy country blues in support of their latest album, Dance Songs for Hard Times. Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, 7:30 p.m. Thursday, September 16th at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets available by calling 606-886-2623 or online at macarts.com.
It's 85 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cassidy Stearman and Rachel Turner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Tanner Boyd has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this lovely Tuesday evening.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Tanner Boyd reporting. The Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team will be home for the next two nights. The Vikings face Ashland Blazer this evening, then we'll host Fleming County for senior night tomorrow. Coach Steve Walters says there are two seniors on the squad this year, one of them being Maggie Moore, who has been with the team since she was in sixth grade.
She is more of what I would say a quiet leader. She's a calming influence, steady, very reliable, and is one of our front row players and one of our more seasoned and better servers.
Tonight's match will get underway at 7 o'clock. Taking a look at other regional high school volleyball action tonight, Bath travels to Menifee for a 6 p.m. matchup. Then East Carter hosts Boyd County, Fairview hosts Rose Hill Christian, and Greenup travels to Lewis County. First serve in all three of those games is set for 7 p.m. In regional girls soccer action tonight, Rowan County plays host to Bluegrass United at 6 p.m. Also starting at 6, Bath County hosts Morgan, East Carter welcomes Ashland Blazer, and West Carter travels to Greenup. In boys soccer action this evening, West Carter travels to Greenup at 7, and East Carter hosts Ashland Blazer at 8. Morehead State Volleyball's contest against Tennessee Sunday saw a career-best performance from one of their newest members. Freshman Brenna Balmer posted a career-high 27 assists, 5 kills, and 5 digs during the matchup. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker McBride says when Balmer stepped up following the injury of a teammate, she wasn't shocked by her performance.
Brenna did a great job. She runs a great offense for us every day in practice, so that was no surprise, but she made a big impact. She got 5 kills, which created a good offensive threat to balance out our outsides, but she did a nice job running the offense, connecting with our attackers, and moving them around to create opportunities.
Morehead State is back at home this weekend for the Comfort Invitational. The Eagles host Marshall Thursday, Toledo Friday, and number 4 Pittsburgh on Saturday. Morehead State soccer is preparing for their midweek road contest tomorrow evening. The Eagles will head to Oxford, Ohio to take on Miami. It's one of two games set for the team this week as they prepare to enter Ohio Valley Conference action next week. Coach Warren Lipka says the team has shifted their focus to offense the last couple weeks, and he liked what he saw in the family weekend victory against VMI.
We kind of lost our momentum, went back in, made our adjustments at halftime, and I thought we took over the second half and again created some chances. You know, we just got to get on the end of it and finish them a bit more. And, you know, that's what we're focusing on, is continue to finish in chances in front of our goal.
The matchup against Miami tomorrow evening gets underway at 4 o'clock. Morehead State football only has one game left before they enter Pioneer Football League competition. The Eagles have some momentum after a blowout win against Point over the Family Day weekend. But head coach Rob Tenier says this is crunch time for his team, saying facing tough preseason opponents is a means for major improvement.
That's the most important piece. You know, that's what these preseason games are for. And then good teams make a huge improvement between game one and game two, and then game two and game three.
MSU heads to Clarksville, Tennessee Saturday for a showdown with Austin Peay. Kickoff there set for 3 o'clock. And that's a check of sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side item menu offers papadillas, chicken wings, garlic knots, and double chocolate chip brownies. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Round County. Papa John's phone number is 784-3551. And online at papajohns.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stock indexes closed lower, giving up gains earlier in the session after a better than feared inflation reading, and stocks did fall back into their September doldrums as the afternoon wore on. Now, the Dow Industrials shed 292.06, or 0.8%, to finish at 34,577.57. The S&P 500 dipped nearly 0.6% to 4443.05, and the NASDAQ Composite ticked about 0.5% lower to 15,037.76. Stocks did pop at the open after the August Consumer Price Index, or CPI, which still showed a significant jump in inflation, although it did come in less than expected. However, the stock averages turned lower roughly a half an hour into trading. Shares linked to the economic recovery dropped, with Bank of America down 2.6%, and GE led the industrial shares into the red today, closing 3.9% lower. Apple shares were down nearly 1% after the company unveiled the new iPhone 13 at its annual fall product event, its stock movement in line with historical patterns. Although there were certain tech favorites that were strong today and bucked the trend, as Microsoft ended the day almost 1% higher. And stocks overall have been under pressure since the August jobs report released by the Labor Department on September 3rd missed expectations. And of course, September has historically been the worst month for the markets, with an average decline of just over 0.5% for the month of September, dating back to 1945, according to CFRA. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest down 5 cents at 7.25, CSX down 40 cents at 30.50, Marathon Petroleum down $1.05 at 57.56, PPL Energy down 16 cents at 29.38, Lowe's down $1.88 at 204.17, and Fifth Third Bank was down 60 cents to finish at 38.98. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Lakin Hupp, Keneally Roberts, Sarah Mead, Hallie Adams, Ethan Jenkins, Alyssa White, Devin Bartley, and Rachel Turner. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Line's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cassidy Stearman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.